I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. When word got out that Kansas City's oldest independent movie theater was closing, few wanted to believe it, but the rumor turned out to be true. Movie enthusiasts will say a final goodbye to the historic Tivoli Theater on Thursday night after its final showing. Today, a conversation with the owner, Jerry Harrington, from how he came to own a little theater to expanding to a three-screen art house to increasing awareness of the artistry found in independent documentary and foreign films. We'll also highlight the screening innovations that Jerry brought to Kansas City and remember the Tivoli's commitment to covering arts and culture for an unforgettable 35 years. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Say it isn't so, but when it comes to the Tivoli Theater, saying it isn't so isn't going to keep the beloved movie Emporium open any longer. The final films will be shown on Thursday night, and then it's a wrap for owner Jerry Harrington and his 35-year career of showing first-run art films in the heart of Westport. Full disclosure, I was there a lot, most recently on Saturday night when I watched Woman at War, and I can't recommend that one enough. Jerry Harrington joins us this morning. Jerry, welcome back. So good to have you. Not under these circumstances, though. We're also joined by the up-to-date film critic, Cindy Haynes. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Steve Walker.
Good morning.
And Bob Butler.
Morning.
Jerry, how many people have come up to you in the last 48 hours to say they hope it's not true that you're shutting this thing down?
There's so many ways to tell me that.
Yes.
And I'm overwhelmed. I mean, it's really been lovely. I mean, people have been very kind and very heartfelt about their expressions of how much the theater meant to them. Not necessarily me, but how much the theater meant to them. And, it's been great. I mean, it's overwhelming. I was exhausted last night because I feel I need to be at the theater the next 2 days the whole time.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to say goodbye. And, I mean, Shirley Helzberg was there, and I said, "Shirley, I'm just tired." And she goes, "You're too young to be tired." And I said, "I knew you would say that because you're the Energizer Bunny."
Yeah, absolutely.
But Jerry, you were the theater. I mean, I hate to use that past tense, but the kinds of movies that you brought.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Whenever I'd open the New York Times on Sunday, I go, "Jerry's got that. Jerry's got that. This is coming." I mean, you were in the forefront of what was new, what was special, and what would be of value to the citizens of this community.
Here's the difference between the Tivoli and almost any other movie theater. It's like drinking Bud Light from the can or going to a brew pub where you know all the customers and all the staff, and the brewmaster walks up to you and says, "Look what we made for you this week." You knew Jerry had a personality.
Right.
His personality was behind everything in that theater. You don't get that very often. We had it for 30 years or more. Yeah.
How lucky were
36.
We?
36. Actually, I was at the Bijou even. So I've been doing this almost 40 years.
Well, word came to me this week that you curated a living film museum for all these years. Does that?
Yes. I mean, I always tried to sneak in like Woman at War. I mean, you know, who knew? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just threw that in because, it sounds interesting.
The trailer's good. And,
the trailer's good. And, I mean, a lot of times I see things. I see the movies. But not every time. And or I have, you know, word gets around in the art theater biz. And also, but I'd try to sneak in old movies or whatever, you know. I always tried to do things that were interesting.
Well, what was the last straw for you? Because I know, you know, for a number of years when Bob and Mitch Bryan and others wrote profiles of you, there was always a little hint that you weren't becoming a multimillionaire
never.
Tivoli.
I'm becoming impoverished. So that's when that was the end, you know.
Well, explain that. What was going
well,
on?
Well, I mean, because, you know, the theater over the last 6 months, it was always you know, you were always, I was always a little on edge, but we made money a lot. You know, I didn't last this long without making, you know, taking in at least enough money to break even. But now I'm losing money. I'm losing my money. You know, what little I have, I'm losing.
Yeah.
So I had to stop. I mean, I wanted to keep, I was just going week to week the last month.
Yeah. Has it been a slow, steady decline in ticket sales, Jerry? Is that what you're looking at?
Yes. It's the business has changed. I mean, you know, we used to rent the theater a lot more. We don't as much now. It's a decline in the way art films are distributed now. Used to be exclusives, and now they're, an exclusive is 3 to 5 theaters opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you dilute the market when you do that. So nobody's doing the kind of business they used to
do. So sometimes Cinemark on the Plaza would have the same film that you were showing.
Oh, no, I would not play. I don't play with Cinemark or the Alamo.
Okay.
Because I feel they're too close, especially for an art film.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Go ahead. Steven?
No, I just, you know, thinking how much I've learned from him, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about all the filmmakers he introduced me to who now are a regular part of my life.
Absolutely. We're talking today about the demise of the Tivoli Theater in Westport, the great indie film house. I'm joined by Tivoli owner Jerry Harrington and our film critics Cindy Haynes, Steve Walker, and Bob Butler. You know, Jerry, you once said that the biggest problem in your business was the absolute flood of content. Describe that to us. What are you talking about there?
Well, With the digital equipment to make movies, everybody can make a movie. Believe me, everyone does make a movie. You will make a movie one day. And two, with the streaming services, and there's a lot of them, you could go broke subscribing to all the streaming services. Mm-hmm. There's movies, TV series, movies, whatever, from all over the world.
Hmm.
And they're good.
Did streaming services break the Tivoli?
No, I think that's the least of my problems.
Is that right?
Yes.
But it was a factor.
Oh, of course.
But you did get people come to the theater to see Roma.
Yeah, I showed Roma the day Netflix premiered it on Netflix. It was fine. You know, I wouldn't do that with every movie.
But
Roma was a movie that needed to be seen in a theater. Hmm. I mean, I feel. And it was lovely. It's a lovely film. So, I mean, a lot of my customers did not like it, but I did.
Yeah. You know, you're a Kansas City guy. Where did your love of the movies come from?
Oh, God, I don't know that evolution. I mean, I always did, but I always loved theater. I mean, I love art, you know. I go to everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, well, I know the day my world changed. In high school, the priest showed us La Strada, the Fellini film, and my life changed. I was in love with Julietta Messina. I'm still in love with that woman. And the film, I didn't understand it, but it was a mystery. And I still love movies you can't really understand. You know, I love movies that are mysterious, and there's a lot of them. And I love them, and I showed a lot of them.
You know, your theater career began in 83 when you took over a little theater on Westport Road.
Actually, it started at the Bijou.
At the Bijou?
Yeah. Summer Ship, may she rest in peace, great lady, hired me because she lost her booker and she needed somebody who knew something about old movies, and I did because I went to film school. I was here. I walked into it, didn't make much money, but I had a ball. Mm-hmm. And when she decided to hang it up, I took the theater over, and that was it, you know. So it was, you know, the Bijou was repertory. Every 2 days, the movies would change.
Wow, wow.
So, you know, it was fun.
In 92, you took advantage of the boom in indie films and opened the Tivoli at Manor Square as well as the Tivoli Home Video on Broadway.
Right.
When did you move to your current location?
92. Yeah.
That's when where it is today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We that had been built in 86 or 7 and never really worked as a commercial theater. And because, you know, the business changes constantly, and they built a threeplex when really 7 and 10 plexes were coming in. They were at the tail end, and it just didn't work out for them. But they built a beautiful facility, and I got to take it over. I got to walk into it. Hmm. I paid them some money, and I walked into it. That's the only way I could have ever done it.
Yeah. Why was having 3 screens so important?
Because there was the beginning of having a lot more movies, and you have a movie that works, and you want to keep it. And at that time in the business, the longer you kept the movie, the cheaper it was for you. That's no longer true. But,
oh.
So, you know, that's why you do it. And there were a lot more movies, and wow, I could compete.
Yeah. Bob Butler, what do you remember about the opening of the current iteration of the Tivoli and in its present location, how much time you spent there?
Well, I hate to say how much time I spent there.
Almost as much as me.
I was going to say probably as much as I spent at home sometimes, it seems like. I, of course, had been familiar with it when it was a commercial theater. And I always thought it was a cool facility, notwithstanding those hellacious stairs.
Oh, they're easy.
Not anymore.
I'm a feeble old man.
Yeah, not like you used to be.
I still run up those stairs.
Exactly. Yeah. The facility itself was it was pretty much pristine when you moved into it.
Right, it was.
And it was a fantastic place to see movies, not the least because Jerry hired people. His staff was fun. People who knew what they were doing. The late Bob Smith was the doorman. If I ever have to write my most unforgettable characters, he gets his own chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Simpson, your longtime projectionist. Mm-hmm. I spent more than a little time back in the booth with Steve. It's just, it's almost like I wasn't a kid, but it feels like a childhood memory, an impression, something that in my formative years. Mm. Yeah, if my formative years were my 40s, okay. But
yeah, yeah. Well, where'd you go to film school?
Southern Illinois University.
Hmm.
They taught more experimental film. That's what I thought. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but I learned a lot. I wanted to learn the aesthetics of film, and I took a lot of film theory classes. We had a brilliant man who's now in California, and that's where I learned my stuff.
You know, it's been amazing. I posted on Facebook last night about all of this and that Jerry was going to be on the show today, and all kinds of folks writing in with a favorite film they saw at the Tivoli. Amelie gets mentioned a lot. Kathy Barnard writes, Far Away, So Close. She mentions Metropolis, Rivers and Tides. Deb Skodak writes, The Godfather Trilogy, held over 3 weeks just a few years ago. Elam Orenik, Lovely and Amazing. Jessica Kennedy, one of my former students, talks about 2001, A Space Odyssey and A Forbidden Planet. We'll talk more after a break with some of you about some of your favorite films that you've seen there as well. When we come back again, we'll talk with Jerry about how he worked to cater to Kansas City interest with the films he showed. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. We're visiting today with Jerry Harrington, who announced this week that he's closing the Tivoli Theater in Westport, the showcase of independent films that's meant so much to so many people. Jerry, you did these innovative things at the Tivoli, like, you know, lots of special films about great artists, live theater presentations, the Gay Film Festival. How did all that come about? How did you begin heading that way?
Well, that's my interest. I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm a culture vulture, basically. And they started becoming available with digital. And so I start, you know, AMC and stuff played them for a while, but they didn't really work for them. And so I tried, and they worked. And, you know, I would sit through them. I actually would sit through them. One Man, Two Governors was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I agree.
It was my interest.
How successful were those presentations?
Some of them vary, some of them not. But, mm-hmm. you know, just it's like anything else. You never knew. I mean, One Man, Two Governors, who knew?
Mm-hmm.
And then word got out. And word in mouth in Kansas City, this is one of the problems of Kansas City, is slow.
The word of mouth is?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get around fast enough.
I mean,
enough
it's hard to generate interest day in and day out of every movie you show, and word of mouth is slow here.
See, but one of the special things was that this station decided to have a program dedicated to foreign art, independent, and documentary films.
Oh, I know.
Films.
That's I mean, very important. And, and with Bob not being at the start, and Mr. Trussell, if you're listening, you guys really helped me out in the beginning. But the star's gone, and even though Sharon runs really reviews, they're not somebody people know, so
right.
it doesn't have much impact. But you guys do, so keep doing it. Okay.
You also, and we will, you also were known as one of your trademarks, Jerry, was the Oscar-nominated shorts, live-action, animation, documentary films each year.
Oh, that was so, I mean, digital brought us that. That was so wonderful. I could never do it before. And, you know, and they have struggled to turn it around in 2 weeks, but they've been doing it. And what a great thing. Because remember when you fill out Oscar ballots, you go, I have no idea what these things are.
Yeah.
And so now people can and they love it.
What amazes me for the last few years, people who I wouldn't think would have any interest in short subjects are telling me that, you know, I've been or I'm going.
It's... Oh, yeah. That was one of our biggest things was that. And people would, you know, I think they came to the theater once a year to see the Oscar shorts, you know, because people love that. I mean, because, you know, they get to vote and we have fun and, you know, we do silly things with it. And, you know, that's part of the, you got to put on a show, guys, you know, we got to put on a show.
You also showed works of young filmmakers who maybe were seeing their work on a big screen for the first time. That must have been a special kick for you over the years.
Oh, they, you know, and it's amazing to me, some of the people who've gone on to make movies or be in acting in movies say they're so proud that they can see their movie in on, you know, in the marquee. You know, that was like, it meant a lot to them.
I'm thinking of Poison, Todd Haynes' film. You showed way back when you were across the street.
Right.
And Todd Haynes now is a, you know, very well-known
Oscar. And Todd Solondz, you were a champion of his stuff
early
on.
Yeah, I'm buddies with Todd Solondz. And Welcome to the Dollhouse, one of the great. And he came to town.
Yes, I remember.
He said, Jerry, you have the best life. I want to move here. I said, you would be bored to death in a week.
Well, tell us, how did you decide which films you were going to show each week?
Some of them are things that I wanted to see, which my booker would say, Jerry, we'll get you a video. You know,
yes.
But I would want to see them, or I'd hear, or I'd see them. You know, I used to go to a lot of film festivals, so I knew about things. And then you hear, you know, everybody talks, you know, or now they all email. And so you hear about things and you go, that'll make money. Because, you know, I was always looking for the movies that would make money.
And still be interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But I'd also look, you know, there'd be holes in our schedule. So, hey, I can show something really interesting. And so Woman at War, you know, or whatever, you know. I mean, there were a lot of wonderful movies that ended up being somewhat of a hit. I was mentioning earlier The Hedgehog, which is based on a famous French novel, and it was wonderful, and we played it for 3 months. It would just steady. Or The Dish, the
wonderful
Australian movie, that ran for 6 months.
No kidding.
That's when we got into trouble, because then the suburban, you know, the people that had never been to an art theater were coming, and, you know, that's when they'd start getting irritated with this bohemian crazy place.
Was there a negotiation that was involved in booking these things? Do you negotiate with the bookers to get
you just try to get them, you know, like it used to be, it'd be me and Brian and Ben at the Fine Arts, and we were exclusive, and we would get one and they would get one, and you kind of fight over which one you want to get, the ones that are going to make the most money or have the most prestige. And, you know, they got some, I got some.
Did you watch every film you showed there?
Not when I had 4 theaters going.
Right,
no.
Right,
when I'd
right.
be out of my mind. Because you have to understand, I see a lot of movies that never, I don't show. And yeah. Some of them are good, but they're uncommercial.
I'm Steve Kraske. We're back with our film critics, Cindy Haynes, Steve Walker, Bob Butler, and Jerry Harrington, the longtime owner of the Tivoli Theater in Westport, showing its final films come Thursday evening, and no one is more sad about that than I am. Jerry, I just want to circle back to this. There's just no question that there's this deep connection between this particular theater and film viewers in this town. How meaningful has that been to you over the years?
Well, that's what's kept me going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my favorite thing about being in this business are the customers. Absolutely. I mean, I hobnobbed with people, but who cares? You know,
yeah. The
customers. And it was always, I loved to tear tickets because I could say hi to people.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's it.
And one person you used to hobnob with was Steve Walker, Stephen.
Oh, my gosh, since my early 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
What I wanted to say was that directors like Mike Lee in his film Secrets and Lies, we talked about it in the break, Zhang Yimou, Merchant Ivory films, Jerry was showing them when nobody else was.
We showed the retrospective with Ismail and Jim at the theater
when they
a
were
lot.
Here, filming
and
every,
everybody who knows them said, I can't believe that they showed up at the theater, and they did.
Well, these
they
are
kept
all,
their word.
Yeah, sorry, Jerry. No. Pedro Almodovar is another one. Volvere and Women on the Verge and everything. I mean, these are directors that I learned about through the Tivoli, sitting in the Tivoli seats, that I still follow, adore, revere to this day. So it's my film knowledge, my film IQ is almost completely dependent on and because of this man.
So Jerry's the one to blame for this, what we get here.
He's to blame for why I really can't stand Hollywood commercial films.
Yeah, Cindy.
For me, Steve, it was always a discovery. I knew a movie that I would see at the Tivoli, I might know absolutely nothing about, and I'd walk out. One of them, I'll never forget, Turtles Can Fly. It was about refugee children on the Iraqi-Turkish border. Where are you going to go to see a film like that? I was so affected by that. I couldn't talk for half an hour. It was such a moving experience.
They would take you someplace you hadn't been before, and that's
show
the
me
problem
something
with the whole
I
commercial
haven't
thing.
Seen. That's
go
right.
somewhere new.
That's what we talk about on this show all the time, Steve. Unpredictable movies, unpredictable surprises that just open up like beautiful flowers.
Predictability is the death of good movies.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times you go see a commercial film and within 5 minutes you can practically write your own script. A film that takes you places through cubbyholes that you did not anticipate and then sends you out at the other end slightly transformed. Pretty awesome.
You know, Jerry, people are going to wonder, is there any chance that someone's going to buy the theaters and continue the mission of showing independent film?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's people calling me. We'll see. I mean,
can't replicate Jerry. Though.
It's a journey that I will assist, but I don't want to take the journey anymore. I'm kind of like, I can pop up and say, hi. But I don't want to. Day to day, it's taken its toll on me. And it's been a wonderful trip. And the last 2 days have been amazing. I mean, it's like, it's just an emotional high for me because everyone, you know, it's a lot of love. And who knew? I never knew. But until the Kickstarter, I never knew anyone cared that much. Now I know they really care.
The Kickstarter was a 2013 campaign that you kicked off to buy digital cameras in that
projectors
in that theater.
Yeah,
and
you know,
it was a huge success.
Yeah, and you know,
$130,000
and
raised
I'm
plus.
Trying, yeah. And depending on what happens, they'll either stay there or I want to give one to the Nelson because I think they could use a real projector.
And, that would be awesome.
You know, they could carry on the art series that we do. And, you know, Julian, I think Julian would love to be a movie theater owner, really, more than anything.
But. Julian Zugasagoiti, who oversees the Nelson Atkins.
Who grew up in the Roma neighborhood.
The one that said, you have to show this movie, Jerry. And, you know, Netflix doesn't like dealing with theaters. And it was only, he was the guy who told me I had to do it, and I made it happen, but it was not easy.
There's a little bizarre thing going on right now. Netflix is in the process of buying the Egyptian Theater in Los Angeles.
Hmm.
How sad is that?
Yeah.
But they don't like us. They don't like movie theaters.
Well, again, viewers are writing in onto my Facebook page all kinds of memories of the great films they saw there. Rivers and Tides, the Andy Goldsworthy documentary, Andy Goldsworthy Building the Wall, that will soon block off Rock Hill Road.
That's right.
Just on the east side of the Nelson
Andy.
Atkins. Stephen Pruitt writes, way too many. If you had to pick one, it would be the film Departures. Yvette Babs Walker writes, the Hitchcock film she saw there. I have fond memories of the films and the people there. Michael Byers, our morning edition host here at KCUR. My favorite movie night ever took place at the Tivoli. I saw a doubleheader of American Movie and Being John Malkovich. It took my brain a few days to unwind afterwards. How about you, Stephen?
I mentioned them earlier, the Pedro movie, Mike Lee's movies. I can't begin to make a list.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Yeah. Cindy, how about you? What do you point back to?
Well, again, Turtles Can Fly, I guess.
Turtles Can Fly,
made a real impression on me.
Mm-hmm. Bob?
Wim Wenders, Wings of Desire.
Mm-hmm.
Just a classic movie, and you have to see it on the big screen for it to really work
that's
its magic.
The other thing.
And
Jerry,
I'm the little old lady here because I loved A Room with a View. Not only did it make a lot of money for me, it was a wonderful movie. I mean, we've shown it. We actually, someone sent us a print by accident, and we've never been able to figure out who to send it back to.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Jerry Harrington, all the best to you. Thanks for all the great memories over the years. Steve Walker, Cindy Haynes, Bob Butler, thanks for coming in and sharing your thoughts
I wouldn't have missed it.
About the Tivoli Theater.